Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our guest today from Lurie's Children's Hospital is Kevin Longstreth and Lisa Bacher. We want to welcome both of them back to Around Town.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to be here.
Okay, so what's going on, guys?
Well, we're happy to be back. Those of you who listened last time know that Kevin and I work at Lurie Children's. We've got the honor of working alongside and supporting our medical center colleagues. The hospital has been around for over 140 years, treating over 230 children each year.
230,000.
Wow.
Better yet.
That's a heck of a number. So that being the case, what is the plan giving and how is it important to Lurie's?
I love that question. I'm the director of planned giving. I like to think of planned giving as options to give, right? Options to give now and to give later and to support future generations at Lurie Children's. So a person might do that through their financial plan or their estate plan.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Kevin, what about the donors? You want to tell us more about the donors, who they are?
Sure. The fact that our support at Lurie Children's helps keep Lurie Children's a special place. You know, we do count on that philanthropy from our community of donors. And, you know, Lisa and I can both speak to who those folks are, right? It's really hard to generalize about those donors because they come from all over the map.
Yeah, I think a person might be surprised by, especially when we hone in on who includes Lurie Children's in their estate plans, who those people are, because it really isn't the Jeff Bezoses, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts of this world who do that. At Lurie Children's, and again, it's not any one kind of person, they are people who are grateful families, right? Grateful parents, grateful grandparents, sometimes grateful patients themselves. Because we have an over 140-year history, we oftentimes receive gifts from individuals who were treated. Maybe they were treated in the 1940s or the 1950s. So it's certainly grateful families who have a very personal experience with the hospital. It is also our medical center colleagues and leaders, both past and present, who make these kinds of gifts. It's also people in the community. It's also people in the community who don't have that sort of deep personal connection to the hospital. Our neighbors, right? Like, ordinary, quote-unquote, ordinary people.
Right. And I'm thinking of Bill as one of our neighbors who was a member of our Legacy Society during his lifetime. Now, he did pass away in 2021, and we were lucky enough to know him during his lifetime. He lived just a few blocks from our downtown Chicago main campus. And I always remember a quote from Bill. We feature him in an article about his special story. And he says, quote, "I spent my entire professional life helping kids, so it just makes sense to continue to do so after I'm gone." And a little
That's
bit,
great.
He's amazing. You know, and a little bit about Bill. He was a speech language pathologist. So he was an educator. We have a lot of educators and education administrators with Bill's mentality. You know, he grew up in Wisconsin. His parents ran a general store and served in the Navy and went on to work with hearing impaired children in Evanston and then in Chicago Public Schools. And just, you know, he clearly wanted to leave the world a better place than he found it. And he did that by leaving his estate to Lurie Children's, making a big impact. I'm thinking about another Legacy Society member, you know, someone who's included Lurie Children's in their estate plan, named Ruth. And she taught in Skokie and around Chicago. She was apparently integral in setting up the dual language program that my son Abe, who is a pre-kindergartner, is currently enrolled in. So clearly she left the world a better place. He's now speaking way better Spanish than I ever did in pre-kindergarten. And, you know, she made a gift. We were able to dedicate the lobby waiting room area to her family in honor of the gift that she left in our new outpatient location in Skokie.
Right. Right. In the very neighborhood that she grew up in.
Right.
Well, I think people probably think that, well, you have to make this really big gift. I don't think that's the case. I think any kind of a gift, it could be $5, $50, $100, but a gift is a gift that does not have to be, as you said, a big corporation. It could be just a family that's has this love of children, or they've run across things in their life that they want to help children.
That's exactly what we see at Lurie Children's. More often than not, these gifts, when we're talking about legacy gifts or estate gifts, we're a part of a plan alongside a person's loved ones, right? So it's not excluding a person's loved ones. People are finding mm-hmm. ways to include their loved ones and the causes that they care about in their plans. And we've seen gifts mature from $5,000 to $500,000 to $19 million in the 1990s. And this story I feel very comfortable sharing because I can remember it being in the news in the 1990s. Hmm. So Gladys Holmes was an Evanston resident. She was an executive assistant. That's what she did. That was her career. She was an executive assistant. And toward in the later years of her life, she was working with an advisor. She and the advisor would come to the hospital and they would make toy deliveries each year. She was known, this was before our time at the foundation, she was known at the foundation as the teddy bear lady. So once a year she'd come and deliver toys. And those visits to the hospital really kind of opened her eyes to the experiences that our patients and our families were having. She began to make small gifts to the transplant program. And then fast forward how many years, we didn't know, our colleagues didn't know the size of that gift. We knew that she was planning to include something in her plans. It ended up being a $19 million gift that provided support for the transplant program in perpetuity. But that's a unique, extraordinary example. But again, my point is, we see gifts from $1,000, $1 million, $19 million.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How about the Families and Friends program of the John Wilson Society?
Well, sure, that's the name of our legacy society. So those people who share with us, who share their intentions with us, and we certainly understand that plans can change, right? So those people who share their intentions with us, because you don't have to, we welcome into our John P. Wilson Society. It's our legacy society. Now, why would someone want to tell us? Why would someone want to be part of our legacy society? Again, they don't have to. We think that there's benefit to an individual sharing with us because, A, we've got an opportunity to celebrate, thank, recognize now that we don't have later when the gift matures, right? We also think that there's value for the person to share with us because we can better understand what they're hoping to accomplish with that gift, right? There are options. A person might want to designate it to an area that's particularly special to them. We don't have those opportunities to have those discussions later. So we want to be able to understand what people are hoping to accomplish with these kinds of gifts, mm-hmm. what their goals are.
And what about school teachers and your administrators?
We've got I was surprised when I started at Lurie Children's, the number of retired school teachers. Some of them are active school teachers, but some of them are retired in our legacy society. So we've got teachers who taught in Skokie, Park Ridge, Milwaukee, Chicago South Side. We've got an interesting number of teachers who are part of our legacy society. So again, like the examples that Kevin shared, Bill and
Bruce
and Ruth committed their lives to helping children thrive in a different way, but an important way, just like our medical center leaders and colleagues are helping. Are committed to helping children thrive.
Right. It's kind of that intersection of where these people's passions and interests lie and, you know, what Lurie Children's does. And the fact that they can be confident that in the future, Lurie Children's being the sort of institution that it is, serving so many patients in so many ways, well, that's a place you can, you know, feel very confident that your legacy gift is going to help future generations way down the line. And, you know, you talk about school teachers whose passions and interests and mission in their life kind of line up. We have volunteers who come to the hospital. You know, we have thousands of volunteers that make Lurie Children's what it is and who it is. And those folks get to know the mission. And some of them have decided, well, you know, after I'm gone, I won't be able to volunteer anymore, but I can leave a gift to help forward Lurie Children's mission. So it's really from anywhere from that person who has heard of Lurie Children's as a place doing good work to being deeply engaged with Lurie Children's. And I think being part of our legacy society helps kind of bring you into that fold, right? You've already made the decision that Larry Children's or our mission is special enough to be part of your legacy, well, we want to invite you to an event highlighting some of our department's work. We want to, you know, let you see firsthand what our medical center leaders are talking about and help you maybe choose that area that you would like your gift to go to or how you would like it to be executed.
And that kind of leads you into the employees too, right? The Laurier Children's employees.
Right.
The staff that you have there and how many years of service.
Yeah, we certainly have leaders, like I said, both past and present, who are part of our Legacy Society. Oftentimes, members of our Legacy Society opt to be anonymous, so they're not interested in having their name on the wall or their names shared in, you know, like today or in any of our materials. So we also want to meet people where they're at and, again, honor their wishes in terms of their communication preferences.
And Lisa, who would be your general advocates?
Gosh, general, our advocates were, because we work at such a special place with a mission like ours, and again, the work that touches so many lives, our advocates come in all different shapes and sizes and from all different areas. We certainly work with advisors in the community. We certainly work with board members and volunteers, but it's kind of a really beautiful thing that you can't just say that there's one place our advocates come from.
Right. And they, you know, someone I'm thinking of, which, you know, from this area where they realized during their lifetime that they would have liked to receive care as a young kid. And they were hoping, well, hey, maybe after I'm gone, I can designate to the Heart Center where I needed the support as a kid, would have benefited from certain care. And made the world a better place in that way. Although we're not talking about a grateful patient who did receive care from Larry Children's, it's more about, hey, I want this for the other kids out there who would be in my position. And I think that that's an amazing way to kind of close the loop on who an advocate is. You don't have to have already had an experience.
You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking to Kevin and Lisa from Laurier Children's Hospital. You know, Kevin, that last comment you just made, that's kind of like play it forward.
Right. Exactly. And considering you don't know, what's the quote, Lisa, about planting the seed and the shade?
Plant trees under whose shade you will never sit.
There you go.
Something like that. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. The when you have your donors, and the benefit of a donor sharing what they've included with Laurier's in their estate plan. Can you tell us more about that, Kevin or Lisa?
Sure, right. It's about connection and engagement and helping that person understand. Again, many years go by before a gift matures, right? And so there's an opportunity to connect and engage and for that person to understand what the hospital is focused on now and to also understand what their aspirations are. It would be pretty hard to say what kind of work would be done in, you know, at the time that that gift matures. But I think that plenty of our members enjoy understanding what's happening now and the direction that the hospital is heading.
So if you do become a benefactor to Laurier's, I know you've had some notes here where you've got communications, preferences, and things like this, Nate, and options for making your gift and the impact of information connected with Laurier's Children's, all these different things that are going on that you make available.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oftentimes people would like to make a gift like this in honor of someone or in memory of someone, right? And so it's a really special opportunity that can find its way onto our donor walls and through naming spaces. It ends up being a really sort of full circle, special, sort of brings kind of closure to people, I think, when they're trying to think about who they want to honor.
Right, and their own kind of peace of mind of, hey, this is what I want, these are my wishes, right? And then it's peace of mind for folks. We talk to people all the time and say, I'm going to make this gift. Can you help me understand that it's going to go the way I want or that we're going to have the correct, you know, recognition, or recognition is not important to me. I just want to know that you know that this gift is important to me.
Well, you had communication with Rosemary Baton, and I know she came to visit the hospital several times. Mm-hmm. And then after she passed, she made a contribution to Lori's. But you had more communication with her, Kevin. How'd that go?
It was wonderful. I think it was that was the way we got to know each other, right? And she talked about how she wanted to support the Heart Center. She talked about how she's who I was mentioning before, kind of anonymously, that she wanted to have the care that she didn't get for all the kids out there that need it. And so it was just a lovely experience to be able to thank her and to be able to have a relationship that was a positive one and share updates from Larry Children's. And, you know, she would always say, oh, that feels so good to know these things that Larry Children's is doing and that I will also be and have been a part of making great in the future.
Sure, because you meet the person. And I know that from the time she was born, she had a heart condition that she was born with. So for her, it was very important that money would go to Lori's upon her passing.
Exactly. So, that's her connection. Her connection is really just one of an idea rather than an experience with Lori and really making that experience more positive for other kids.
Doesn't it add more to the overall gift when you meet the actual person who wants to make a gift down the road? Now, it might not be immediate. It can be, but let's say they say upon my passing, but you're meeting the person who's making this dedication to you.
It certainly is. It's really special. It's when gifts arrive, and they do, where they're a complete surprise. The person was not a part of our legacy society. We didn't know the person during their lifetime. They weren't giving during their lifetime. That happens. That happens on a relatively regular basis. And that's the way they intended it to go, and that's okay. But it does leave a person when we're sitting on the other side of the desk thinking, my goodness, how incredible. What inspired that, right? And you wish that you had the opportunity to thank that person during their lifetime. But it's up to the donor. Not every donor wants that. And we offer that flexibility, of course.
It feels good for everyone, right? That's our ultimate opportunity, is to thank these folks during the lifetime. In the examples where we did not get to know the person or get to thank them in their lifetime, we are then working with their family. And we
oftentimes
can find ways to thank them.
Oftentimes it's family or an attorney or a neighbor or, you know.
We like to thanks to go somewhere. And so we find a place for it to go, right? And if we can't thank that exact person, then the family's the next logical place to spread that joy.
Isn't that rewarding?
Yes.
Yeah. We've got the best. It's really special work. It's really rewarding work. It can oftentimes be emotional work because just as many times we do know the people who are doing this. And it's a relationship. It's a relationship that these people, our Legacy Society members, have with the hospital, with Kevin and I, and with lots of our colleagues at the hospital.
We should probably tell the folks about becoming a planned giving donor. If you want to pick that up, Kevin or Lisa.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some myths to bust there where you mentioned, oh, it has to be a giant gift. It has to be a complicated gift. You know, we like to think that anyone can be a planned giving donor, right? That you can plan financially for simple ways to, yes, include family, yes, include loved ones, but also include the causes you care about.
Right, and the reality is most people in this world are not in a position to be able to make an outright gift of, let's say, $100,000 or whatever, or $10,000. Most of us are not in that position.
Even if we'd like to.
It's simply not reality. But in most cases, there is an opportunity to do that, to make something like that happen through your estate. So I bring it right back to maybe what I said in my opening, and that is, it's about options. Planned giving is about options. And it's certainly not only about really big gifts, and it's certainly not about excluding loved ones from your plans, and it certainly doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah, and on the simplicity front, you know, we have donors who are including their children's in their online wills, right? That's a big thing now. You're not having to go to an advisor or draw up this really fancy plan. You can really just be putting charities in on an online will, and that counts. That could be a basic dollar amount. That could be you could fill out one of those a beneficiary of a individual retirement account. That's a one form process where there are really, once you get into exploring, oh wow, there are some very simple ways to include charities, to include lots of you know, people to benefit that aren't as complicated as you might think.
Have you had people in their wills sign over their 401ks, for example?
Absolutely. That asset, in terms of assets, that asset, if you're someone who is interested in philanthropy and donating to a cause you care about, it makes a whole lot of sense, right? Because the hospital is a nonprofit. We are, and maybe that's what I should have added in my introductory remarks. We are a 501, you know, we are a nonprofit. So the tax is different, right? If you were to leave your IRA to a son, a daughter, a grandchild, whomever, there would be tax implications. So when you're thinking about assets, and if you're charitable, that one makes a whole lot of sense.
It's most tax friendly.
Or part of that one. Again, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be 100%.
So what have you found as far as donors and people who are planning to give money to the Lurie's Hospital? You've probably seen a lot of different ways they've done that. Can you explain to the folks and tell them how the different ways have taken place for people to make that donation to you?
Sure. When it's through their estate plan, a person can designate a specific gift. Let's say I were to say I would like to give $10,000 to Lurie Children's and another $10,000 to the Nature Conservancy or whatever, right? You can make a specific amount. But just as frequently people use a percentage, it's pretty hard. It can be hard to ballpark what that's going to look like when these gifts mature, right? When these distributions are a reality. So it can be a percentage or a remainder that is being left to Lurie Children's. We see that a lot.
You know, Lisa, we should mention too that if you do make a donation while you're still on this earth, that's a charitable deduction. So for tax purposes, you can use it. You're a 501c3.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's a charitable deduction. So that's one thing that's beneficial if you want to make it now while you're still on this earth yet.
That's right. And we've been talking about an IRA or a retirement account, that could be part of a gift through your estate. It can also be a gift during your lifetime if you are of the age, is it what, 72 or 73 now? I should know that.
You can do 70 and a half is where you can voluntarily make the gift.
Right, but
then
it's
once
either
72
or 73 where the required minimum distributions come into play. And again, if you're someone who wants to, you know, participate in philanthropy, that makes a whole lot of sense. You've got to take that distribution. A percentage of that, part of that, could be your gift to Lurie Children's.
Just out of curiosity, have you had people donate property to Lurie's?
That doesn't happen as often. I think, yes, certainly, real estate is a really valuable asset and can mm-hmm. certainly be part of, you can gift it now, you can gift it later. We don't see that as frequently as maybe some universities do, or you know, some larger nonprofits do, but it's certainly a possibility. And if a person is considering donating real estate to, let's say, a small nonprofit, right? Sometimes Lurie Children's are smaller than Lurie Children's. Donor advised funds are a really great way to handle what we call more complex assets, and real estate can be that. So a donor advised fund can be established. A donor advised fund can be opened with as little as $5,000. So that's not something that requires hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to open. And they're really good. A place like Fidelity or Charles Schwab, or, you know, all of the administrators of these donor advised funds, that's what they do day in and day out, is handle assets. So those things can be liquidated, really. And then that becomes the balance of your donor advised fund. And then you can decide how you want to, you know, distribute those charitable dollars over years.
You know, I think it's interesting is that no matter what you donate, $50, $1,000, whatever, is if you take a trip to Lurie's and see the children and see what that money is doing mm-hmm. and how it's working for those kids, that really says a lot. And I know one of the questions that's going to come up, they're going to say, well, if I donate $1,000, does it all go to Lurie's, or is there a percentage that's taken out for administration costs, or is it 100% the $1,000?
It's all going to the Lurie Children's Hospital and the function thereof, right? Right, as a nonprofit in a standalone pediatric facility, you know, that for there's so many services that we offer that are not going to be reimbursed by insurance. We're always going to have a budget shortfall because right. we exist, right? So
right.
so that money really does is essential for us to even maintain, let alone grow. And I always have the analogy of this pool of donors, because you talk about donors making modest amounts, $5, $10, $15. Well, if you take the pool of all those donors that make those relatively small amounts, that adds up to millions of dollars a year, right? And so you're part of millions of dollars a year if you're part of that pool. And, you know, the same goes for planned gifts and legacy gifts. It doesn't matter the size. You're going to be part of that community contributing to the future of serving patients the way we do.
That's great. The before we sign off here, I just want to remind the folks that you've been listening to Kevin and Lisa from Lurie's Children's Hospital and bringing you up to date on all the things you can do to help that hospital, to help the children with all the transplants and work that they do and how they support the families. It's really amazing. It's something that we should be proud of to have this right here in our own backyard. Folks, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com and contact us, and you can get more information. Until next time, please have a great day. Take care.